Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh,
magnify
the Lord,
the Lord
with me.
His name together. Come on and magnify
the Lord
with me.
McCoy and our panelists for today, and always, is Dr. June Normeo. We want you to know that you have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, and to let them know that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air. We have an exciting topic today, one that will make you think, one that will cause you to search your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Our topic today will be living in an unbelievable, believing world. In other words, the times and the days that we live in and the things that are happening in the world today, we find that there are people that don't believe God, because if they believe God, that they will live according to God's word. And in order for us to know God and for us to be his, that we're going to have to accept him into our heart. And I just believe that because we're living in an unbelieving world, God knows how to deliver the godly. Yes, God knows how to deliver those that are saved, those that have given their lives unto them, to him, and to those that will give their lives to the Almighty God. Well, our center truth today is Christians must beware of false teachers and follow sound doctrine. We're going to go back and we're going to talk about that on it today as well. But our scripture text is going to be taken from Peter, 2nd chapter, 1 through the 3rd chapter, through that 7th chapter of 2nd Peter. Our key verse is, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished." That give us the record of the reading from KJV, King James Version, and the NIV reads, "The Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment." We want you to get ready to go with us as we go before the Most High God. Well, the Bible said, "In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path." And whatever we do in word or deed, we ought to do it in the name of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you, God, for allowing us, God, to come before your precious people. And Lord, we ask you, God, even now, give them an ear to hear. God, give them a heart to receive, God, what you have for them on today on this Breakthrough Broadcast. Now, God, many of them are going through struggles and stress in their lives. Many of them need joy. Many of them need peace. Many, God, that need to know you even in a greater way. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus for every need, God, that is needed on today. Lord, we pray that, God, that you will have your way. We pray, God, that you will touch them, and, God, that you will endow them with power from on high. Father God, if there's any sick, we pray healing. God, before this broadcast is over today, God, cause your healing power, God, to be demonstrated upon them. God, build their faith like never before. God, that they'll have that, be able, God, to receive that higher height and that deeper depth in thee. And this we will thank you and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, again, we would like to welcome you to the Breakthrough Broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We have Dr. June Normeo, who is a regular member of the Breakthrough Broadcast panel. And we are going to come before you today with a word, as I said, that will give you insight on what God wants you to know today so that you can grow, that you can mature, so that you can believe God as never before. Now, if you have a Bible, why don't you open to 2 Peter, the second chapter, and we're going to go all the way through 2 Peter, that second chapter, through that 22nd verse on today. And you can take notes, you can get your pencil and pad, and that you can be able to hear what God has to say through the women of God. At this time, we're going to go to Dr. June Normeal. Dr. June Normeal will be discussing the danger of false teaching. And that is going to be coming from 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, 1st through 11th verse. We would like to welcome Dr. June Normeal to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Dr. Normeal.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Good evening, Radio Land. I thank God for giving me the opportunity to come before you this afternoon. My topic is danger of false teaching, and I'll be reading 2 Peter 2, 1 through 11. And it reads, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways," that means destructive ways, "by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words," that means deceptive words, flattering words, "whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but say a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that afterwards shall live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy compensation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to preserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, that means authority, presumptuous, are they self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, that means dignitaries. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not accusation against them before the Lord." I have just read 2 Peter 2, 1 through 11. And what Peter was talking about, he was saying that the false teachers and also the seducing teachers are out on a rampage. They are out now today as they was before. And is this not starting here in this 2014? They've been out ever since the beginning of the world. You could look right back in the Garden of Eden where Satan used this clear command to Adam not to eat off the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but he did. Him and Eve, they sinned, and deception has been on a rampage for the world ever since. But false teachers, they show that there's no new. They show nothing new now than it was even back then at the beginning of time. Because now even in the Old Testament, the false prophets, and even now seducing teachers, what we have now in the New Testament, they're doing the same thing. False prophets, they call the children of Israel to be led astray. And even now in churches today, you have to be very wise. We have to be very vulnerable and wise about what's going on with teachers today, because they are into our churches that we're going to now. They'll be going every Sunday. We're going every time the doors open. Some churches have, Satan has sent deceptive false teachers out there to twist the word of God, to cause people to fall away and disregard the word and the true gospel of Jesus Christ. For example, You got to think about Jim Jones, for example, the Jonestown Massacre. He didn't always, he didn't start off as being a false teacher, but he did. So we can't be in denial, and we can't admit that how a lot of people are turned away from the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And but we have to make it our business to be wise as serpent and harmless dove, to recognize people and false teachers when they come and twist the word of God. We got to be steadfast. We got to be unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord, knowing that what we do, what we've been taught, our labor of the Lord is not in vain. Because if we get our eyes caught up on man, it's easy to be distrayed away from there. And you probably wonder what caused false teaching. A person could be, like I used Jim Jones for example, teaching truth. And what caused them to get off track? Peter said that human greed is a driving force behind false teaching. When people, they start thinking about themselves, they start greedy for filth and lucre. They want to be make a name for themselves. The false teacher, what they do, they focus on their own gain, and they are willing to fool people for the benefit of themselves. So we have to just look around and be swift to hear and slow to speak about what's going on in the world today. But Peter used several examples about in the Old Testament, the old time, what happened. He talked about how even the angel himself, probably talking about the angels was with Satan in heaven. He was Lucifer then, but Satan was in heaven. They got cast down, how they would been judged. And also he talked about Sodom and Gomorrah, the sin of the two cities. Sodom and Gomorrah, back in Abraham's day, how God destroyed them with fire and brimstone because of sin, homosexuality, and sin. Also, we talked about Noah, and he destroyed the whole world. But one thing we know about God, and it shows our example, that even if we live rightly, the people who are living rightly and just before God, God will not destroy them. He got a way of saving them, making a way of escape for them. But he will get rid of the whole world, if necessary, if they're full of sin. But Peter didn't tell us and show us those examples, and we're not to be look at God as being some mean person who just come out to try to hurt people. But Peter was showing how God is to be consistent. He is not impartial about judgment of evil. And even referring to Noah and Lot, we know that even Lot, even though he didn't do, his lifestyle wasn't as pleasing as it should have been before God, but God did find a way for Lot to escape, and that should give hope to us in being his children, to know that even sometimes when we don't walk right and we don't do things what's right, that sometimes God will cause us to be find a way of escape. He do have that same grace upon us that he had upon Lot, but Lot did have to pay a lot of consequences of his mistake, and we would have to do the same thing. But God calls us to let us know the kind of God. He is a God of love, and he is a God for what is right. And he wants us to look at things if it's right and to be aware of people who come to the church, the body of Christ, that would twist the gospel, that would tell you damn things. You have to be focused on the word of God. And we can't get caught up in people themselves per se, because a lot of times people start off right. And not everybody does go off track, but we have to know, we're talking about the false teachers. They'll start off right, and sometimes we start making people out of a God, and we start take verbatim whatever they say is first value, and for what they say, and they could be twisting things around, the gospel around, and because of who they are, and we see how God was using them, we begin to follow them. And another thing that calls us to people could get off track is when we look at the crowd. Just because everybody may be going, the majority is going a certain way to a certain doctrine, what's being taught, not necessarily mean that's been taught the right thing. That's the right thing is not being taught. So we have to know about, keep our eyes stayed on God. And know, and Peter, he also talked about you can recognize a false teacher when they have wickedness expressed through their indulgent and sinful nature. They despise government. He talked about that in verse 10, how they despise government. What he mean by that is the authority. And the authority that way he was speaking about is they reject the lordship of Christ, which is the core of the gospel message. When you get anybody to try to deter you from the core, from the gospel, that's a false teacher. That's a false prophet. That's when they have people come in and seducing spirits and seducing teachers that try to do that. And what they do is you will see the sign in a person or a false teacher when they display arrogance or they have self-reliance on themselves. They're real haughty in spirit, and they as well, you know, attached to things that are really fleshly and lustful. And they clearly could be recognized as a false teacher when they became the fact that they always talking about money and gain with things to focus them, but it caused the things to be focused on them rather than things to be focused on God. But you can, as being a Christian boy, you know, being taken by false teachers and not being able to be going to be shared the fate of them at the end. But what we got to do, we must ask questions. We must ask questions. You know, one thing about a godly leader, they would never demand obedience to their teaching. They would never try to make you and be demanding about what they teach for you to receive what they teach. But what they would do, they would respectfully and sincerely explain the biblical basis for whatever they're teaching. And second, we must look, read, and pleasure or power to manipulate people. Or do they appeal to locally, you know, ideas by trying to channel all the given activities through their organization? We got to look at all those areas when it comes to false teachers, because they're very cunning in what they do. They will put truth out there. They'll start off with truth, but in between the mixed of an end, they'll twist it around. And the Bible tells us to hear the end of a man's conversation. And what we could do to recognize, and for you won't be overtaken by false prophets, also, third, we got to examine where they are leading us. You got to realize, what are they talking about? What is their topic is about? What is they saying? Do they challenge us to yield morally to the lordship of Christ? What they say is the benefit of us in our relationship with Christ? Or are they building a following us to a place we can look at them as being some kind of Lord? We don't have to follow false teachers. What we have to do is just trust God to protect us. And if we listen and obey his voice, we can avoid the teaching of false prophets and false teachers, and don't be deceived, because a lot of deception is all over the world today. So we just have to recognize false teachers and don't be naive, because everything that look good is not good. We are in the last days, and we got to remember that there's going to be a lot of truth in midst of twist, in midst of a lie that will twist us from the gospel, that will deter us from Christianity. But we have to know the Bible for ourselves, know what the word says, keep godly counseling, and pray. And God will give us that that intuition, insight, and the Holy Ghost will reveal, it will bear witness to whatever that false prophet is trying to lead us to and where they're trying to lead us to. So back to you.
Thank you, Dr. Normale. We thank God for the word of God. But the word of God is true all by itself. And I thank God when we can get revelation, knowledge, and revelation of God's word, so we can get clarity of what God is saying to us this day and this time. And I believe that Dr. Normale began a part of her discussion that she was giving us today. You know, there are some people that will start out earnestly and sincerely preaching the word of God or teaching the word of God, but somehow or another they get off a track and they begin to go in other areas. They begin to believe false doctrine. They began not to stay sounded, grounded in the word of God, and they are living according to their own righteousness and not the righteousness of God, which is by faith. So therefore, we have to be careful, because even as her topic, what she was telling us today, the danger of false teaching, I'm sure that you were truly blessed with the comments and the teaching that Dr. Normale have given us on today. Well, we're going to go to our next topic, which is fate of false teachers. Fate of false teachers, 2 Peter 2:12 and 22. Whereas we're going to begin reading at that 12th verse. But these as natural beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. I'm talking about yours. and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it a pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you. We see things of that sort every day. We see people that they are living in pleasure. They did the same thing as they did in Sodom and Gomorrah, and they did not count the cost. They did not know, didn't want to do what was right before God. See, many times people do things that are right in their own eyes, not remembering that there will be a fate, F-A-T-E, there will be a fate, there will be a time of judgment, and especially to those that are teaching and preaching the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. If you're not teaching it according to God's word, there are many that are being deceived, and many will be deceived. But as teachers and preachers of the gospel, we know that if we don't teach it according to the God's word, that we can look for our reward, which will be we're going to be judged. We're going to be doomed because of the fact that we're not living, we're not teaching God's people and others in the way in which they should go. In that part B of that 13th verse, it says, spots they are and blemish, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, begotten unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covenant practice, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. But when they speak great swelling words of vanity, boasting, and allude through the lust of the flesh, through much wantedness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollution, the corruption of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangle themselves therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. But it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog turned to his own vomit again, and the sword that was washed to her water in the mire. So we see the faith. We see the faith of the false teachers. The only way that we can know a false teacher is that we know truth, that we study the word of God. For the word of God says to study to show thyself approved unto God. A woman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. For the word of God says that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. The word of God says, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. If we don't preach and teach the word of God, then we're going to have faith things in our lives. Our faith will not be good. What happened to us is not going to be good. Just as Dr. Norman was talking about Jim Jones, and in that time, what he did started off good, started off seeming to be righteous, but he began to put himself before God. God let us know that he'll have no other man before him. Nothing else comes before God but God himself. You have no other God. We can make God of people. We can make God of the things that we have. We can make God of the automobile that we drive. We can make God of the house that we live in. And so therefore, when we put anything before God, there will follow things that will happen. You may say, well, I've seen this certain person seem to be thriving. I believe, again, Dr. Normia mentioned that sometimes people seem to be gaining the crowd and doing this or that. But if that righteousness, if their righteousness is unrighteous and they're not teaching and they're not preaching according to the word of God, that will be a faith in their life. That things that will happen when we think about Sodom and Gomorrah, things happen. Those people had a chance in order to live right, to live a godly life. They had a chance to do what was right. But sometimes we see people begin to flaunt their sins. They begin to be deceived. And because they're deceived, they call other people to be deceived as well. When we look at the word of God, the word tells us that often they do this while they are feasting, while they're eating, while they are partying with you. These are some things that are happening. You could be fellowshipping together, but yet you as a believer, you as one that want to be able to make it in, that we have to know God for ourselves. We have to know that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We have to know his word so we'll know his word line by line and precept by precept. Yes, we need to know the truth from a lie. We need to know what is being said. Is it according to the word of God? I remember there have been times that if some people, and when they're teaching, they would say, don't open your, you don't need to open your Bible. You just sit here, you listen to what I'm saying. Well, you need to know whether or not that individual is teaching you, is this the sound truth of God's word? You need to be able to follow them. Now, if it's on a screen, that's okay. You're looking at the word of God. If it's on the screen, it tells the chapter, tells you the verse, that's good because of the fact you're still getting the word of God. But don't take the word of God as if it's only depending upon the person that's teaching it. You need to be able to write and divide the word of truth on yourself, because false teachers, there were false teachers in the earlier days and times, and there are false teachers in the day and the time that we are living in as well. And so therefore, Peter did paint a picture of the people who profess to be living righteous but are fulfilling a sensual human nature. They're living not according to the righteousness of God, but the righteousness of God, because the righteousness of God is by faith. So when we look at this chapter, these are people that hold fast to their evil ways and seek to pull those who are not spiritually strong into their sins also. So therefore, you cannot follow Christ if you don't know him, if you're not seeking, if you're not praying, you're not reading the word of God so that you can know sound doctrine, so that you'll know him. You're going to know Christ through his word. You're going to know him because you're spending time with him. So we are accountable for ourselves in the way that we live. And we are accountable for the truth. We are accountable. Yes, the men and women of God that preach the word of God, they're going to give an account to what they preach and what they teach. And I thank God that we got many men and women of God that is right in the Bible, the word of truth. We got many of them out there that will not err from truth, that will preach the word of God as God has given. But there are false teachers. And if you don't know the truth, then anyone can give you the word that they say is from God, and it certainly did not come from God. And God never said that. God didn't mean for us to do certain things, but because of the fact we don't know truth and we're not living in the way that God would have us to live, then we cannot rightly divide the word of truth. But there is a way that we can know God. We can, number one, accept him as Lord and Savior in our life, to be able to study the word of God, to be able to be able to pray, to be able to let God be, to lead God and to direct our path. So we have to be more determined to live for Christ, to be able to know truth for ourselves. And God has given us knowledge. God has given us a wisdom. We have to do it because we have to know truth, and we have to live according to truth so that that we will be able to please God, and we'll be able to live according to the word of God. Peter warned us that teachers make often, they can't fulfill, they do things, Peter warned that the teachers make offers they cannot fulfill, like a well without water, a cloud that fails to bring nourishing rain. When we look at verse 17, and their words lew others unto error and also away from the salvation. These are false teachers. They promise people liberty, even while they themselves are in bondage. Have you ever seen a person that will tell you certain things, but yet they themselves are living in bondage? And they often create discussion among Christians over whether a believer can lose his or her salvation. I mean, these are true facts. These are things. I was so blessed to be able on today to witness to a gentleman, and some of the same things that we're talking about today and some of the same questions that we are talking about today, it came up on today. Because sometimes people are telling you that if you're saved, if you get saved, you're always saved. Well, that gives room for people to do any and everything that they want to do. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you continue in the things of God, when Christ comes, then you're going to be saved. If you turn away from the word of God like false teachers does and do your own thing, when Christ comes, then you're not going to be saved. Because the word of God says that he's coming back like a thief and a robber. a thief and a robber, come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. See, we don't know the day. We don't know the hour when he's coming. So therefore, we have to consistently live right before God. Now, I know that there are things that that may happen to an individual, but all you need to do is repent and ask God to forgive you for what you may have thought of, whether something that you may have done, and get it done quickly, because we want to make sure that heaven is our home. Many people, under the assumption, to think that, yes, I was baptized when I was 12 years old, and they think that because I was baptized when I was 12 years old, they think that that doctrine of baptism, and they have gone out since then, and they are maybe 20, 30, 40 years old, maybe even 60 or 80, and they haven't repented, and they haven't gotten their heart right with God. Well, you can't expect for that person to go back with God. Yes, I do know God have mercy upon whom he have mercy, but that person has to repent of their sin. So a lot of people are failing to please God because they're going to under the assumption when I was when I gave my heart to God, I gave it to him a long time ago. But yet they're fornicating, lying, they're committing adultery. They're in all of these things that are not according to the word of God. But that's why it's so important to fall in love with God. It's so important that we know God. I believe if we fall in love with God, that we will stay out of the hands of the enemy. I believe if we do the will of God purposely, and that we allow the tendency will be upon him and in him, I believe that we continue to stay in the arms of Jesus Christ, and we will be saved. But don't let anyone tell you that you're living in sin, and you from day to day, and because you're living in sin, the time when you was baptized or the time that you gave Christ your life, that you're still covered. It doesn't matter. You're still covered. That's not true. You have to live according to God's righteousness, not according to man's righteousness. We live according to the righteousness of God, which is by faith. The man of God warns that these teachers, they do. They make offers they cannot fulfill. And it's already given illustration like a cloud that failed to bring forth the nourishing rain. The false teachers promise liberty while they themselves are in bondage. We talked about that. And they often create discussion among Christians over whether a believer can lose his salvation. And, you know, people do that a lot. And that's something that we were just speaking of. People arrive at different conclusions depending on how they define the spiritual condition of false teachers. Peter warns about some view these teachers as never having accepted Christ as Savior and deliberately twist the gospel for their own end. It is so important that people genuinely embrace the truth of the gospel and not to use the gospel, misuse the gospel for their own purpose. And that is so real, so true what we're saying. We cannot use the gospel for our own purpose, do our own thing, tell somebody else to live a certain way, and we don't live that way ourselves. These people have a faith. These people that when Christ comes, that they would not go back with him. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived about false teachers. You can't identify with a false teacher if you don't know the truth yourself, if you don't know God's word yourself. So we just want to thank God today. We began talking about the danger of false teaching. Then we talked about the fate of false teaching. And I'm quite sure you were able to gain something from what Dr. Normeal and what was said today and from myself. And we want to talk just a little bit today, since we are talking about the unbelieving, believing, those that are unbelieving, living in an unbelieving world. God knows how to deliver the godly. God knows, no matter what people may say, God knows how to deliver you that are godly, even to those that are all around you in temptation and things that are all around you. Well, let's talk about why do you think false teachers are able to lure even Christians with promises of worldly happiness and success? Did you get that? When listening, even that question, I want you to think about what we're saying, because I'm going to ask Dr. Normeal to come and just to talk to you just a little bit about why do you think false teachers are able to lure even Christians with the promise of worldly happiness and success. Dr. Normeal, would you like to help us out on that and talk to our radio audience?
Yes, I think it's so easy and so prominent now, even today, to see how some even Christian has been easily lured by deception of false teachers because of things, because of, like Peter said, material gain and human greed. Because a lot of times, like I said earlier in my discussion, people look at the person that who is presenting the message, who is presenting, doing the teaching, and they already have a perception of that person as being someone they probably already idolized. And by Satan allowed them, and by that time they have worldly gains or material things, probably houses and cars, or renowned name, that caused people to think because that person recognizes being the idol, they idolize that person, and they see the material things that come with that person, so they figure that's the way that it's right. And not only that, because they see a lot of people, a crowd going in that direction, so they say, surely it got to be right. A lot of times people think, when they see people have a lot of human greed or material thing, materialistic wealth in their life, a lot of times people, by not being wise, automatically think that it's of God. So they think it's right. So they tend to want and gravitate that same thing in that person who is deceiving them and make them lead them to this, think that they'll have that same end. They can have that same wealth and prestige if they follow them and obey what they are teaching.
Thank you, Dr. Normeal. I hope that you were able to hear the response from the woman of God. Why do you think that false teachers are able to be lured even Christians with the promise of worldly happiness and of success, and to lure them from following Christ? And then I want you to think about, what steps can we take to avoid being taken by false teachers? And we've already talked about that. We talk about some of the things that we could do and keep to avoid being taken in by false teachers. False teachers are those that teach lies, those that do not teach the truth, those that say part truth and it mix a truth with part truth. And the only way that we can keep being lured in by false teachers and no false teachers, then, and for us to be able to know, as we said before, the Word of God ourselves, to know Christ, to be familiar with Christ, to have a relationship with Him. If you had a father on earth, in which everybody usually have a father, whether they're in a home or they had a father, but usually people would spend time, the father or mom or their mother, they would spend time with their father or they spend time with their mother, and certain things that someone would say, the mother may have said, you'll know whether yourself, you get in your spirit, say, oh, no, my mother would not say that. Now, that is not true what you said that she said. Why? Because you know your mother. And the same thing would be with the Father. And the same thing will be with our Heavenly Father. When we know the Father, when we know our Heavenly Father, then we will know the truth. We know that God, the Word of God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. First of all, we got to believe the Word of God. And only believe the Word of God, we got to believe God. We got to know the what to believe. We got to know how to believe the truth. We got to know the truth and read the truth, study the truth before we can really to be able to know truth. When we begin to examine the Word of God line by line, precept by precept, then we will realize that the Word of God, the Spirit of God, will be evidently in our life. It was the evidence of him being in our lives because he's alive within us, and we'll know his Spirit. The Spirit will be upon us, and by reading the Word of God. So as we use and illustrated before, there are people that will tell you, well, you don't need to stand that word so much. You're reading the word too much, or you don't need to read. All you need to do is to listen to the person that's presenting the Word of God. No, you need to be able to read it yourself. And another thing it is, it's great to have the man of God or the woman of God when you go on Sunday or Friday night or on Monday or whatever day or night you may go, but you need to be able to read the Word of God yourself. There's only so much the man or the woman of God can give in one setting. Therefore, we need to be able to read the Word ourselves and study the Word ourselves so that we can be filled more with the Word of God. Because, you know, one of the things that I just believe that if we eat two or three times a day, if not more, some eat four times a day, and you find it a need, something that you really need to do. I need to eat. I want to eat. So I think the Word of God should be just like that in a sense, if not more, that we should be wanting to know more about God, want to eat more of his word, so that word would be like rivers of living water on the inside of us, that we'll know the distinction of truth from false. There was a program that was on some years ago, a long time ago, and it was to tell the truth. And they had three candidates that came on the television network, and one of them, they told things like it was three individuals, whether they were men or women, and you had to tell which one was telling the truth or not. And the program was called To Tell the Truth. Well, they all of a sudden so familiar and so similar that you had to really listen and know which one of these people was telling the truth. So you got to, if a person has to listen to the people in that instant, you're going to have to listen and read the Word of God so you'll be able to know that this is God. This is the person, because some people sound like they are telling truth, but yet they are not telling the truth. They tell half truths, and they lead people astray. It's just like in Sodom and Gomorrah, the way that the people were. They was in a place wherein that they wasn't taking God's word for what it was, because had they been taking God's word for what it is, then they would have lived better lives, that they would have given themselves totally, unconditionally unto God, but they did not do that. Same thing it was when we began to look at the prophet, when God sent the prophet to Nineveh to tell the people that God was going to destroy it in a certain 40 days, yet before they were living according to their own righteousness, but not the righteousness of God is by faith. So who is responsible for giving people truth? We as believers are responsible for giving the whole truth, not part of the truth, but giving the truth of God so the people can understand. And it's up to the people to accept and to want more of God's word. So by having all of God's word inside of us, it will help us from being taken in by false teachers. I hope that what has been said today have really warmed your heart, would have stirred you up. You know, sometimes we need to be stirred up. Sometimes we can get so lukewarm, sometimes we can get just so laid back and so relaxed, and we want sometimes we allow other people to feed us things that we don't know what we're feeding. It's just like going to a marketplace or going to a restaurant, and you don't even know what you're eating, but just because somebody cooked it up and whatnot, then you're devouring, you're eating it, and sometimes the things are really not good for you. So therefore, we have to know what we are eating. We eat the Word of God, and we read the Word of God. We know the Word of God is sound. We know the Word of God is real. We'll be able to rightly divide the Word of truth, because it will be a faith to those that are not living according to God's Word. It's a danger to the people that don't know false teaching when they are hearing the Word of God. I remember about the virgin. Remember the 25th chapter of Matthew about the five wise, five foolish virgins? Okay, somebody didn't have it right. They all had oil. They all had the lamp, but yet they didn't have enough. Even that. Well, when somebody say, well, you don't need that much of it. You need to stay in the Word of God. Yes, we need the Word of God as much as we can get of the Word of God. Because if you have a certain part of the Word inside of you, you don't have it like you should. When temptation comes, when things come your way, then you're going to yield to temptation if you're not strong enough. Just like the man of God, Samson, he's strong, but yet he yielded because of the fact he didn't stay with God. He did things that was away from the will, the perfect will of God. And he thought he was this and thought he was that. But I'm telling you, you can never eat too much of the Word of God. God will help us to be able to understand, to be able to get a purpose within our heart, to be able to do everything that we need to do so that we will be able to live in a day and time that we are living in. And I just hope that you are listening to this, those that are listening to this broadcast, that you will remember in your heart and mind that what we have said today and focus on the topic today. I added just a little bit on more onto it, that living in an unbelieving world, God knows how to deliver the godly. There are many people that are living ungodly, but yet there are many, many, many people that are living godly, and God wants us to live in a godly situation, in a godly life, so that we can live this life, so that we can live again. We're going to ask Dr. Normil to pray. We're going to ask her to pray for those that have infirmities in their bodies. We're going to ask her to pray the prayer of salvation to those that are not saved, those that need to repent today, those that are backslided, oh Christ. We want her to pray that God will make a difference in your life, and we want you to know that if you are sinned, if you are living in transgression, God will forgive you for any and everything that you have done. He'll do it for you even today, just like the thief was on the cross. That was his day to be saved, of grace, to spend eternity with God. So we're going to ask Dr. June Normil to come and to pray with you. Dr. Normil, why don't you pray with the people today?
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to first thank you, God, for allowing us, God, to come before you this day, God. And God, we thank you, God, for the teaching, God, the danger of false teaching, God. And God, we even know the fate of the false teachers, God. But God, those, God, who are unsaved, God, have given their life to you, God. God, now we stand in the gap for them, God, and we give them open opportunity, God, to ask you, God, to save them, God. God, just cause them to repeat after me, say, God, forgive me of all my sins, God. I do not want to be a sinner. And, God, I believe, God, we know, God, that you are the Son of God, that you died, God, on the cross, and God raised you up in 3 days, God. And we know that you are on the right hand of the Father, God, interceding for us, God. And, God, we thank you, God, for saving us, God. We thank you, God, for being your child, God. And, God, we ask you, God, to fill us, God, with the Holy Spirit that would give us insight, God, that would teach and lead and guide us, God. Walk with us, talk us, lead us in all right and truth, God. But don't be deceived, God, when the enemy comes, God, like a thief in the night, God. And, God, we just thank you, God, for salvation, God. We thank you, God, for even filling with the Holy Spirit, God. And, God, we thank you, God, even for the bites, Lord, God. You are worthy because you are married to the bites, Lord, God, that they have seen themselves, God, like the prodigal son, God, came to themselves and asked you, God, to receive them by yourself, God. You said you would not cast out anyone. Whosoever will, let her come, God, and you will cast them and receive them as yourself. You will not cast them out, God. We thank you, God, for restoration of the blight side of God, our healer, God. We thank you, God, for those that have infirmities in their body, God, mind, soul, and spirit, God. We thank you, God, that you for all sickness and diseases, God. We thank you, God, for healing the mind, the soul, the spirit, God. God, for restoration, God. We thank you, God, for healing for the crown of heads, for the soul of their feet, God. We thank you, God, for even inside of wisdom, God, to take care of the temple, God, God, to rest well, God, even to eat well and dress well, God, even the inside where the spirit as well as the natural body, God, to take care of our temple, God. And we thank you, God, for being the God that's concerned about our whole mind and the whole body, God, and the whole soul, and the whole spirit. God, we love you, God, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We want to thank Dr. June Normill and all of you that have so graciously joined us again today on the Breakthrough broadcast. We will continue to pray for you. We pray that God will bless you and you're going in and you're coming out. We pray that God will make you the head and not the tail. We pray that God will keep you and that God will lift you up, and that God will give you that higher height and that deeper depth in you. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, the Breakthrough Broadcast. May God bless and keep you is out.